It ain't gonna be that wild. But I want to this.
Clap.
This is so important. Okay. I want to get right into it. So I'm just gonna delve right into it. But I'm gonna do it in an organic way. I want to get right into this topic because this shit is mind-blowing. At least for me it is. Maybe I'm not informed as I should be. Welcome to Keep Me Different, where we like to keep it different. Like, subscribe, listen to this shit.
Episode 3.
I'm sorry, y'all. I'm so excited. I'm not excited. I'm kind of like thrown off. I want to talk about it, but episode 3. Listen to this shit. And I'm going to chop it up, right? But I want you to hear parts of this. I have to write this down. I just found this article that says artificial intelligence could widen the racial wealth gap between blacks and whites, obviously, by 2030. That's in 6 years. Between black households and white households, the risk of automation taking jobs threatens black folks, right? Listen to this wild part. In October, the Federal Reserve found a median black household has about $44,900 of wealth, just 15%. A white household, which is $285,000, right? Mm-hmm. So immediately when I read this, I thought to myself, like, okay, so we already dealing with a meteor shower that we've been dealing with for 400 years. A meteor shower that we haven't cleaned up, haven't rectified, haven't fixed the way we'd like it to be fixed, right? We already dealing with that shit. And now you're telling me another meteor is on its way, right? And when it lands, it's gonna widen the gap even more. So the first thing I thought about is, okay, why don't black people? And maybe I'm being too blanketed when I say this, but I'm gonna say it anyway. Why don't black people put more effort into the sciences, right? Mathematics, things like that. Especially since we love science. We fucking love science. It's proven by our iPhones. Proven by, we love science fiction movies, we love fucking anime, right? By the way, we're the biggest consumers of anime, which is a $1 billion industry.
Oh, I did not know that.
We're the biggest consumers of it. Mind you, mostly all the anime characters are white as fuck, except for Killer Bee on Naruto. Other than that, most anime characters are, if not all of them, are white, but we're the biggest consumers of it. Anime is about to overtake Hollywood as far as bringing in money.
Oh, wow.
So we love science, we love escapism shit. Why aren't we on the creation side as opposed to, I just want to go purchase this and use it, but I don't want to, you know, understand how it works or how I can make it work for me or how I can create it to help, you know, bring my people along. Anybody answer?
Well, I think when we say black people, we do probably have to differentiate, just for this conversation at least, like immigrant black people and American black people, because I do think immigrant black people are heavy in the STEM.
Well said.
Yes. Like, yeah. I do see that a lot in college environments. Shout out to the Nigerian people. Y'all keeping the STEM alive for you people. Yeah. And Caribbean people too. They like to put their kids in the STEM.
Not this one.
Engineering. Engineering, science, all that. I don't know how Obama had the initiative to increase STEM programs for kids during his administration. I don't know how successful that was or how that's going in the case of black people, but I think it just comes down to like access to education. You know, like science is a really rigorous field, and if you're in a public school with poor education and poor resources, like, science is like one of the hardest topics. It really is. And yeah. I think that could be pushing us back, like where we just don't have the same access to education.
Yeah, I was just gonna say access and exposure. And again, like, imagine going home and trying to work with your parents on a science project that don't even know how to put things together. You know what I mean? So I do feel like it's just access and exposure of why we're behind in that sense, or why we just haven't made that a focus or put more attention to that is more just around access and exposure. I don't have any like thing more than that. Like, I think it's there pretty straightforward. Like, it shows kind of, you know, well, I guess now I'm about to have something more to say, but yeah. If you think about, you know, these communities and all that, sports is heavy in community, mm-hmm. as well as then like entertainment and things of that nature, is that, you know, that's always been the focus of building more gyms or more recreational centers or building, but not including a STEM program or not including some more of educational things that then gives them access and exposure without even having to leave their community. To then that puts them on a different path, or at least the understanding of science and tech and all that.
Yeah. Oh, I have a good anecdote too about exposure. I went to NYU, and I talked to this other black guy that went to NYU recently, and he asked me like what my parents did like for careers growing up. And both my parents did work in finance. And he was just like, wow, like I grew up in Brooklyn and I did not know that there were black people doing regular jobs that made money.
Wow.
And I was just like, that's so, I just never thought about that. But like, I think that's really what it is. Like, if he's like, I didn't even know like black people could work in finance or like have an office job and like actually make large amounts of money doing that. He only knew about entertainment and sports, right? Yeah, so like, yeah. If you don't have exposure and kids don't know like how much money can be made in science or like the utility of it, they're like, nah, I want to be LeBron. I want to be, and we, yeah, we can get LeBrons, but like we also need some scientists too, right? Like we need like to diversify the interests that kids want to do, because not everyone's going to make it to the NBA or be a, like an entertainer. And that's hard.
You had mentioned our first episode, if I'm not mistaken, around more like black men being teachers and nurses, and that being something that, you know, kids can actually see.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things, or part of the exposure, is actually seeing someone that looks like you and sound like you in these positions, or learning about these things, or creating, you know, and being a part of like the new front of, or the new wave of AI and tech and science and all that, is like being able to see an example.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, it was interesting. Earlier I was discussing how black people learn, and obviously sometimes I throw out cockamamie, you know, theories that most of the time are just cockamamie and stupid. Sometimes I think they make sense. And I like to question things, and I question the way we've been taught to learn, because we've been taught to learn in a very Eurocentric way, right? Sure. To taking information, sitting behind a desk where it's boring, the desks are lined up a certain type of way, you have to be quiet, you have to sit still, right? This is, I mean, obviously, you know, I was brought up in this Eurocentric way of learning too, but I'm assuming that we in Africa, we probably didn't learn like that. We didn't gather our information like that, right? And I was like, I was playing with a theory. I was like, what if we don't, partly is access, obviously, but what if we don't gravitate towards the sciences because the way we see it presently constructed as it's taught is very dull and not lively, and you know, it has no character, for lack of a better word, right? We gravitate towards things that are loud, physical, just filled with some sort of animation, if that makes sense. And I'm like, what if it was taught in a different way? Would we be more apt to go towards it, right? Because just we're different with the way we absorb information, with the way we move, the way we act. You know, I mean, we always say black people got soul. We have this, we have that. We're the soil of the earth, right? You inject us in anything and we make it cool. And for the longest, I've always looked at it like, not everything can be cool. But why not?
A lot of things can be cool, though.
Right?
Yeah. And absolutely. I think science is cool.
Yeah.
But it's probably like, you have to figure out a way to get these kids engaged in that.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah. Because it's a lot of learning.
It's a lot of learning.
Very technical.
And it's a lot of memorization, too.
Yeah.
Well, can you tell me a cool scientist? Black scientist?
Oof.
And I ain't talking about Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I was about to make a joke and say Neil deGrasse.
I mean, shout out to Neil deGrasse Tyson. I think he's cool.
Professor
Clump, yeah, that's about it. And he's fictional. He's fictional.
Hey.
Yeah.
Name one cool scientist that you look at as a young black man or you look at as a young black woman and you're like, yo, I want to be like you. I'll wait.
But also, like, my...
I'm struggling.
What we're getting to, though, is, like, my attention has never really been on science. Yeah. So I don't go looking for super dope scientists.
But your intention hasn't been on a lot of things, but you've come across things,
that's
right?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah. It's not, you don't have to search it out, right? Sometimes you can just come across something.
Right.
You know, I don't look for cool Russian dog walkers, but I've seen a few.
Have you?
No. Oh. Just made that shit up.
I was going to say, please.
I'm just trying to make a cool example.
Yeah, I can't give you a
exactly. We haven't seen that.
And but I'm they're out there.
But they're out there.
No, I'm sure they're out there. Maybe they're on Instagram. Maybe there might be. I just might not be tuned into it.
Well, here's an example. I'm glad you said on Instagram because when I'm perusing the popular page and everything, you know, obviously you see these cool black doctors now, young doctors.
Oh, I've been seeing that.
Yeah. You see a lot of that now. They take their shirts off and they be lifting weights and then their beards are all trimmed up. And I'm like, yo. Normally I judge this harshly, but shout out to you. You making being a doctor cool. You making being a cool black doctor.
Right.
You making it cool. And so some young kids are looking at that and now you're, you know, giving them permission to be like, oh, this is I could do this and still maintain. And I hate to sound like this when I say this, but I just think that we like things that have some life to it.
Right? I was going to say there has to be some like, but who likes to live life with like no adventure or no curiosity or things of that nature?
Yeah.
It makes sense that it does have to be appealing, especially if you're trying to grab the attention of these kids nowadays when they can be just on their phone the entire day and be good with that or be in front of a TV. It's like, what is engaging about science or how can you make science engaging that we're just not aware of? Like, I'm sure someone's doing that and doing it at a high level, but how do you get that out to the masses and understand that there's opportunities there for these kids to go a different route other than like entertainment or sport?
Or sports. Well, Michelle, go ahead.
Yeah, some of it I think is funding related too, because I grew up in the suburbs and I did get to go on like a lot of cool field trips and like we'd be like dissecting like pig bodies and stuff like that. I don't know if every school could afford to do that, really.
Right.
You know, and I think some of the more fun parts of science are that hands-on experience of being able to like use like different chemicals and have like the beakers and stuff like that. I don't know if schools have that in black communities like that.
Yeah.
Well, and to add to that, obviously, the hands-on experience makes it fun, too. But also the deliverer, the teacher, right? I was playing pickleball. Come on, man, pickleball. Now, when I think pickleball, I think old, crusty white people. You know what I'm saying? No offense, but I think old, crusty white people. And I played some old, crusty white people in pickleball. They beat the shit out of me. So I was like, this is what y'all do. But it's still whack and corny because it's pickleball.
They love the pickleball.
They love it. And I was,
go ahead.
No, okay, I was playing it, and I was listening to this dude break it down to this other guy, and he caught my ear, and I'm like, holy shit, this is dope. But it only became dope to me when he started explaining it, and he was talking about the angles and what you got to do, and he was just a great teacher, you know, and he made it interesting. He made pickleball interesting to me. If you can make pickleball interesting to me, we can make science cool. So
fair warning for any of you guys out there that plan on playing pickleball, definitely stretch and stay warm that entire time, especially if you're over 30.
Oh, not even older than over 30?
I would have to say so, you know, because I would say the muscles tighten a little bit more than when you're in your 20s.
Yeah.
And the demand of fast twitch muscles in pickleball is very underestimated, though, because I think people try to compare it to tennis and kind of like a short version of that. But the fast twitch and you being flexible and being stretched and warm is key on anyone that is going or looking to pick up pickleball.
So do you think...
I played it once, and again, former athlete. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll get out here, this and that.
It broke you.
You heard
calf.
It.
Yeah.
Almost fully went out.
Oh, my God.
But you think it you're going backwards? You think you're trying to apply your elite athleticism to a sport that does not require that?
If you're going to call it a sport, then I'm going to use my...
Because them old people stand in the middle of the net, and they like... And you run all over the court.
I also think that it's more of them playing... as a leisure sport?
Yeah.
Oh, you're playing to win.
Yeah. Why? What's the other reason to play sports?
No, I feel like Oh my God.
Yeah. It's competition for sure.
Yeah.
Win.
Yeah.
So the angles and all that play a part as well as athleticism. I think if you could put both of those together in pickleball, you'll be amazing.
Because that's what homie told me. He was like, you know, a lot of these guys are running around trying to cover all this ground. Yeah, he's like, man. It's all in the way you turn your wrist and you turn it in. And I'm like, oh shit, you just opened up a whole new world for me. Now order some pickleball things and play pickleball, but I digress.
Stretch.
If y'all play pickleball, pickleball streets is cold. No love out there in pickleball streets. So yeah, I think the deliverer is really important. And you know, going back to your point a few episodes ago when you were like black male teachers, how there's no, you know, there should be pride in that and we need more of that. And again, going back to IG, when I'm on IG and I see those cool clips of the teacher dapping up every kid before they go into class.
Oh, I love those. Handshake. I'm here for that.
Right? Or they're singing a song and they're learning this.
Yeah.
I just entertain the fact sometimes. I'm not saying this is a fact. I'm just saying I entertain it. I'm a human being. I should be allowed to have different views and question things. I just entertain the fact sometimes that maybe we learn in a different way. And I can tell you right now, I would much rather have a teacher in class dapping me up different ways, having me sing a song about history or something like that, than you sitting behind a desk pointing at something saying, Napoleon marched on. That shit was boring.
I think most kids learn in a different way
than
the way American school is taught.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that because America as a country is falling behind in education. Like, we're just not...
Which is not surprising at all.
It's not surprising, just we don't put resources into it. Like, it's so much variation between, like, economic
states
levels. Yeah, states. It's not dialed in. So I feel like kids in general learn different than the way that the curriculum is already enacted, yeah.
Yeah, so it's no wonder why we don't have, you know, enough scientists and... mathematicians and whatnot. And it's really interesting to me because going back to the first statement that I made about, you know, how we love products of science, right? We love it. You know, I don't think I've met a black person who doesn't like science fiction films or doesn't love what technology affords, right? But I don't know many black scientists. I don't know any black scientists. I'm talking about many. I'm lying. I don't know any black scientists, right? And for me coming up, I know that, you know, I'd look at him like you was a nerd. And then guess what? 10 times out of 10, they would fulfill the whole nerd resume. They would really be that thing. And then I would question that, like, why are you dressed this way? Why are you acting this way? It's as if now that you've decided to study the sciences, you've also taken on what a scientific person's personality is. Like, you've bought into it.
Well, you kind of have to be respected in the career, though, I think.
And talk to me about that. Yeah, you're being put into that environment. You're going to, not everyone, but you probably will conform, especially if you're the minority. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, how do I actually get the reputation. It's basically how am I validated in a space that it's only one of me?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's only one person that looks like me. And everything and all the other examples and come from those that don't look like you.
Yeah.
So like, what are you doing to then
get them
on your side, or trying to, you know, them to understand you without being alienated?
Also, science requires usually a master's degree or higher.
You always got to bring something back.
To be a true scientist, I think like you probably have to like have an MA in biology
at the least,
like at the higher level, like entry level, I could see you getting like if you have an undergrad in like biology, sure, but like once you want to get make more money, you just have to definitely get into MA program of some sort, or even PhD, right? So like now we have even less Black people once we get up to those levels. And then if you're doing research, right, like research falls into academia, all research is written in a certain way, it's talked about in a certain way, you do have to kind of like conform to that if you're going to be taken seriously as a Black scientist, if you're going to be a Black scientist.
Wow. And so bringing it full circle then, knowing that AI is probably, it's not even probably going to, you know, create a bigger divide, knowing that like, I think 4 out of 5 jobs held by Black people are jobs that AI are going to come up and take over and automate, right? Knowing that this is coming, what is it going to take to light a fire under our asses? Because obviously, we don't have access. We don't have all these things that you guys have mentioned, but that doesn't change the fact that it's coming. Right. And we don't need another boot, so to speak, on our necks, right? So how do we get in gear? I mean, like a few episodes ago, when we talked about, you were saying how we're expecting these changes to occur in this short amount of time when it took all these years. All AI is going to do is fucking speed up the process. So it's not even... We don't even have time to look back and be like, oh, give me a chance to get my shit together, right? It's a two-part question. So remember that first part. And the second part is, let's just be real. AI is racist.
Oh, AI is racist, yeah.
Yeah, it's racist, right? Explain.
Because I'm not challenging you. I just need to...
Michelle can speak to it better than I can.
Say, I haven't been much... I haven't experienced AI as much or really done any like research around it, just only from what I hear and then the little like the ChatGPTs and talking with friends and all that. But like, please break down how AI is.
Credit scoring, number one, right? A lot of the credit
also
scoring.
Also the IRS. Well, I don't know if what the IRS uses to audit is truly AI, but they're using an automation of some sort to like pick who they audit, right? And there's already been research and like tons of articles written about this, how like Black people are in fact audited at higher rates than white people, right? And it's more of a systemic thing, because it's like, okay, they're auditing more people who own businesses are getting like audited a little bit less, right? But most people who own businesses are white, right? So then it's really the Black people getting audited, right? So it's like, if because the creators of the automation are already potentially racist or just white, and they're not thinking about the intersections of like, oh yeah, if we put a feature where we're only going to audit this population of people that just happens to fall into all minorities, then it's racist, right? So I can see AI doing that across the board, because especially if you start thinking about AI for like police and military, then we're going to get like we're trying to like automate like things that are already existing. So if the existing structure is already racist and then we're automating those processes, it's going to be racist too.
So it begs the question, like, you know, obviously we know this is coming. So it begs the question, should we pour all our resources? I mean, the small percentage of wealthy Black people that are in the US, you know, this is going to affect them too. It's going to affect everyone, right? Yeah. So should we pour our resources into doing the best we can to catch up in some, we're not even gonna catch up, but in some way make up the ground? Because from what I understand, that's the next undiscovered country, but it's the next evolutionary step, right? It's here.
Go to where you started is, do we create our own?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like if these things are already built already for a specific type of people, or group or community, do we start to build and create tools and put our money and resources towards something that actually benefits us and makes sense for us?
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, I think, you know, to your first question, is YouTube is your friend, so is Google.
Yeah.
So even just starting to be curious and typing in baseline, what does AI do, or what does AI mean, or how does AI affect me in the marketing space or me in the creator space? Like, those are things that I think you can at least just start to understand what's going on with AI.
Yeah, you should definitely learn how to use it.
Yeah.
At minimum.
100%. Because to your point, it's here. It's already here. So if we're not really trying to learn more about it, it's like, well, as a community or as just a person, an individual, you'll get left behind.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like out of that clip of Good Will Hunting when that guy's trying to clown Ben Affleck and Matt Damon comes in and just destroys him. And he was like, for all this money you spent in college, I learned in the library, right? I think all the information is there. So the evolving process, it doesn't really take much. That's what I find really ironic when people are like, oh, I don't understand how to use this. You just got to Google. Just Google it.
And you're going to have to learn, probably, because like, it's coming regardless if you want it to come or not, right? So like, you will get left behind if you don't.
It will be a skill set that they will ask you probably about and or you should have on your resume if you are looking to get into the workforce.
I mean, there is a push towards more like Black coders, Black programmers in tech, scholarships for people to learn how to code that are people of color. Like, all those things are good, right? Like, because we do need people who understand the programming, the inter workings of AI, but we also need like some Black people on the policy side too, to be in the rooms discussing like what's going to protect certain classes of people from being discriminated by AI.
The interesting thing is these are all the things, policy side specifically, these are all the things that are deemed boring. Right,
boring jobs. Yeah.
Right, I'm trying to shoot a three. I ain't trying to make no motherfucking policies. Policies that will affect you, your family, and generations on down. You know, I guess it goes back to that same question: how do you get young children of color, young just people of color, to be involved? It's kind of like with people. It's the whole voting thing, right? Or how do you get them involved? I can't tell you how many times I've.
There needs to be a push towards that, like a focus on like, hey, this is a priority amongst the Black community. Is this? Because we do it with music, we do it with sports
all day.
We do it with, you know, I mean, anything that's just entertaining. Is like, how do you at least take those principles and that foundation, and then bring it into now this new space that should be talked about just as much, because it affects us all.
What's the new term they use to take the place of aristocracy, technocracy now, right? Like they're saying we're headed towards a technocracy, and they're like these tech giants they're the leaders in the world now. Right. You know, we're here. Everything we've watched on television, every science fiction flick we've seen
is like coming to life.
Basically. Everything is coming to life. So this whole conspiracy theory thing
was probably to some trash. But when I first seen it, I was like, this can actually really happen. Was iRobot?
Oh yeah.
Oh, was that trash people?
I thought it was just a really good movie. Right? Yeah. And
I feel like I saw that years ago.
Yeah. It's old. I want to say early 2000s.
Early 2000s, I believe. Will Smith movie, early 2000s.
You know, you're literally seeing what they were talking about in the movie today.
Well, you talked about when you went to...
So I think back in 2015, 2016, I went to the NASA campus with a few friends just to see what was going on, because at that time I was looking to like possibly get out of Nike or take off from Nike. And then one of our friends one of our good friends of mine, Jason Maiden by the name, he was down, I think, about to get his master's from Stanford, or just got his master's from Stanford, and was a part of like all of these like tech conversations and consulting down there. So we went down there, we sat down, it was like we went to different places. I was able to actually experience Oculus before it actually was a thing. Like, it was still like attached to a TV, a monitor. And they had this room where it was a huge room. Imagine like Toy Story, but it was like just this big ass room, and you were on a one person roller coaster. So it cranked you up while you're watching, and it drops you. But when it drops you, it looks like you're literally about to fall.
Yeah.
So there was a person that was with us that yanked back and almost ripped the cord out of, because how real it felt at the time and all that.
Yeah.
But we then got into sitting down, like they brought us into like a classroom and just start talking about some of the things that they had planned and what they're experimenting on and checking. And they got into AI as well as then being able to manipulate cells and how a plant that's green in the future, if we wanted to change the hue, we would be able to change that because of the cells that are implemented into the plant, that then it can glow purple or it can glow blue, whatever we wanted to.
Yeah.
And then you get into the conversation around like, how does that then affect humans? And they're like, well, we would be able to also at some point, or there may be a time where you're able to manipulate DNA, but like very strong, of where we can both have brown eyes and we want the baby to have blue eyes and they can change the eyes.
I think we're already there.
Which is nuts to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's like things like that. And then the one that really like, again, got me was like, they start talking about at some point, you know, what if we're able to create a team of Avengers? And like you have like,
they actually said that.
Yeah. These superhumans. And everyone, I think the group that was in there, that I was like, we were of color. And then the rest were like scientists and all that. And they were excited when they had said that. And to me, I'm like, that shit sounds crazy. That sounds like anarchy. Because you create these Avengers who are supposed to protect and bring safety to the world, we'll say. But what happens when that gets into the wrong person's hand? And now you're having this all-out end game between Avenger and Avenger.
I mean, you're talking about like, essentially, you know what I mean? So the Boys.
What?
Oh, the Amazon the show, Boys, The Boys, about the superheroes that were created by a corporate company.
Right. Yeah.
And some of them are evil, but the people think that they're good. I mean, you know, I'm gonna wrap it up. I'm sorry,
like, go ahead. Just around science and AI and us really just scratching the surface to where a lot of these scientists are already thinking 10 to 20 years ahead of what's the next frontier of augmented. Whatever it is,
not just reality, human beings.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because we say that's crazy. We're like, oh, that's wild, because we reference back to, you know, the science fiction movies we've seen or the comics or the books we've read, right? But is it really that wild? Anything the human mind can imagine, can conceive, can be done. That's literally anything. So if anything can be created, if you just think about it, it's not that shocking at all.
Well, eventually you could get
eventually,
like,
yeah, eventually.
Research and thought, exactly. Takes a long time, but
some things we thought, I thought the GMO thing and the cloning thing was going to take a long time, and we're doing it now.
Yeah,
we're here.
Already,
So I think anything they make mention of, they're probably there already. They're just like, the public can't handle it. Look, we're talking during the pandemic. We talked about aliens and flying saucers like it wasn't nothing, and we didn't trip over that. We were like, man, the pandemic going on. Yeah, aliens floating over the White House. I don't care. You know, so it's here already. It's here. It's like slowly boiling a crab, right? You know, after a while, he don't know he's getting boiled.
And some of it's positive, though. Like, it's AI 100%. For medical advances.
Yeah. But I think, for sure, especially if you use it as a tool. You know,
and
that's the biggest thing.
I want to use what you just said to wrap everything up. And I think that's what we need to, because I know that traditionally Black people kind of sometimes look at things like that as conspiratorial. Like, man, they over there creating people with 8 arms. I don't want to get involved. I think I ain't trying to get all that, man. I'm crazy. This man,
you
we
really
going to
like someone's uncle when you do
like
that.
Someone, yeah. I think that we need, or people like, man, I ain't supporting no ChatGPT because they putting people out of work. And I'm like, no, you need to understand and try to work in conjunction with, right? As opposed to saying you're just going to completely ignore it, because if you ignore it, it's going to come knocking at your door and it's going to ravage your home and everything that you have. Right?
Yeah.
Listen, we're going to have to pick this up another time, because I still have so much more I want to talk to you guys about. I could talk about this stuff all day, you know. Thank you for tuning in to Keep Me Different. I want you to like. I want you to subscribe. And you already know why you should do it, because it could do that thing for you when you're doing that thing.
Good.
Thank you.